You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's good, everybody? Welcome into a Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. It's brought to you in part by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On Vols sent you. All right, so today we are going to project the two deep for Tennessee football. Yes, my projected two deep. So keep your receipts, and on September the 2nd, 2 weeks from today, go ahead and tweet me and say, hey, you big idiot, you were wrong about this position or this position. So just telling you right now, keep your receipts. We're going to go over the 2D, my projected 2D for offense and defense in segments 1 and 2. And then in segment number 3, we're going to wrap up and talk about expectations for the Tennessee football team. That'll be in segment number 3. So that's the rundown of the show today. Hey, I'm Eric Kane, your host, at underscore Kaner on Twitter, at Locked On Vols. This is Locked On Vols, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's available wherever you listen to your podcast 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And we've had some great numbers so far since football's been back with camp, and I appreciate you guys for tuning in. So let's go ahead and get into it, all right? A lot of you guys kind of get my drift on who I think is performing well, what the coaches have been saying. We kind of know some spots, who's going to be where. But I'm going to give you my projected depth chart. Now, disclaimer, again, a lot of movement will happen. There will be a lot of wide receivers that play. There will be a lot of defensive linemen that will play. There will be some linebackers that switch in and out. This is not going to be to a T. This is just to kind of give you guys kind of an idea, my thoughts on how I see it right now. And again, keep those receipts. I'll be ready for them on Thursday of next week. So let's start with offense. Well, the quarterbacks, I do believe Joe Milton is going to officially win this battle here pretty soon. I think that he's the guy the coaching staff envisioned when they came to Tennessee, or like in the offseason at least, in terms of a quarterback they want in this offense. I mean, I think that's in part they went out and they added to the quarterback room. Has he officially won it yet? I'm not going to go that far. But I think Joe Milton is going to be your starting quarterback for Tennessee. That's my thoughts. Again, that's my thoughts. Josh Heupel, when asked about that, or when asked just about the quarterbacks in general in terms of a pecking order on Tuesday, he said there still was none. But I think those reps are starting to get diminished down a little bit. And I see Joe Milton as being Tennessee's starting quarterback. We'll have to see if that holds true. Again, this is a Thursday podcast, 2 weeks out. A lot can happen in between. Number two on the depth chart, I say, here's that favorite word whenever it's depth chart season, or and. Hendon Hooker or Harrison Bailey. I think both of those guys, I've liked what I've seen from Hendon Hooker. I really have. And Harrison Bailey, I see him improving in a lot of areas. I just think he's, from what I've seen, has been the most inconsistent in terms of throwing the football. I think he has limitations throwing to the boundary, a little bit on the run. But again, I think he's improved as well since spring. All these guys are going to benefit from being coached by Josh Heupel and Joey Halsey. That's just the fact of the matter. That's my opinion. But again, Josh Heupel, one of the best quarterback coaches in the country. So at number two on the depth chart of quarterback, I have Hendon Hooker or Harrison Bailey, depending on the time situation. Maybe there'll be some packages for Hendon Hooker they want to get him in there for. But if Joe Milton goes down, I don't know. My guess is they would put in Hendon Hooker, but you know, we'd have to see if that ever were to happen. So that's the quarterback. Again, this is nothing from Tennessee. Josh Heupel has not said that. I'm not reporting that. I'm just saying this is my projected 2D. All right, running back, Jabari Small or Tyon Evans. I think it'll be a 1A, 1B situation. I told you guys that before. I think Jabari Small gets the first snap, but I think Tyon Evans plays a whole lot. Behind those guys on the depth chart, I like Jalen Wright. I do. I think he's had a good camp. He scored a touchdown the other day in the scrimmage. He offers a unique skill set to where you can give it to him between the tackles or put him out in the slot, outside zone. I like Jalen Wright. I think he would be that third option, in my opinion. At wide receiver, there's three wide receiver positions, okay? And, of course, I can go four or five wide. I know that. But, you know, two outside guys and then a slot. This is how I see it, and this is the first one where I say, hey, there'll be a lot of wide receivers playing. They will mix and match these for the most part, except for really slot a little bit. But these positions are interchangeable when we're talking about the X, the Ys, and the Zs. Well, the Y is the tight end, but you know what I'm saying. The X, the Ys, the Z, all that type of stuff. So on one outside, I have Valus Jones. Behind him, I have Cedric Tillman or Anderson Kobe. At the other receiver out wide, I have Javonte Payton, and that's probably the biggest question mark because he would be that quote-unquote third receiver that we've been talking about. I've got Javonte Payton or Jimmy Callaway, one of those two guys. Behind those two guys, I would have Jimmy Holiday or Ramel Keaton. So I'm kind of bailing myself out here by putting in these ors. Again, I, in terms of a true pecking order, I can't tell you that. I just know that Jimmy Callaway's look good. I can tell you that Cedric Tillman's look good. I can tell you they like Javonte Payton, kind of stuff like that. In the slot, Jalen Hyatt's, and then at number two, Walker Merrill. That I can tell you. Walker Merrill's not going to play over Jalen Hyatt. I can tell you that. Valus Jones is going to be up there first, but kind of behind those guys, it's kind of a free-for-all. That's why I've kind of separated these guys into outside guys and inside guys. The tight ends as well will line up in the slot, okay? So you'll see Princeton Fant line up in the slot. You'll see Miles Campbell line up in the slot as well. But so that's wide receiver. Again, the top three out there, Valus Jones, Jalen Hyatt, Javonte Payton, in my opinion. And then there's a whole lot of ors behind that. You know, Javonte Payton or a Jimmy Callaway. Behind Valus, Cedric Tillman, or Anderson Kobe. You know, behind Payton or Callaway, you've got Holiday or Keaton. So that's kind of my thoughts right there, just kind of separating them from inside and outside. At tight end, I have Princeton Fant or Jacob Warren. I do believe this is a 1-2-3 situation, but they might put in Warren in certain different personnel packages. Princeton Fant, Jacob Warren, Princeton Fant or Jacob Warren, and then Miles Campbell. The fourth one on that list would be Julian Nixon. At left tackle, again, you can Cade Mays can play either tackle or either guard. So truly, whatever position outside of center, whatever position Cade Mays isn't playing, he's kind of the backup, if that makes sense. If Cade Mays is playing right tackle and Jerome Carvin goes down at left guard, Cade Mays would probably go play left guard. You know what I'm saying? But the way I have it out right now, at left tackle, one, Darnell Wright, two, Dane Davis. Dane Davis is your swingman. He'll be the backup tackle on either side. At right tackle, Cade Mays, backup, Dane Davis. And then behind those guys, since it's kind of a swing position, I put behind those two guys, it'd be William Parker and RJ Perry, two young guys who I think have impressed some people there in camp, but I think still need some development there as they try to move on towards, you know, cracking the 2 deep. We move on. At left guard, Jerome Carvin. At right guard, Jamonta Spraggins. Okay. Cade Mays can play either one of those. And quite frankly, Cade Mays could slide down and one of those guys that hit the bench. You smell what I'm stepping in here. But at left guard, Jerome Carvin. Behind him, Kingston Harris. Behind Javonte Spraggins at right guard, Jackson Lampley. Okay, and then at center, Cooper Mays. Another situation. If Cooper Mays isn't snapping, it's probably going to be Jerome Carvin who can snap the football as well. Behind those two guys, because again, Carvin's all over the place here, Parker Ball or Ollie Lane. All right, so that's my thoughts. That's my projected 2-deep on the offensive end. I'll listen to this tomorrow to air check myself, and I will notice that I forgot somebody. And I'll be like, oh, wow, how did I forget that guy? And you guys can obviously remind me of that too. But that's kind of how I see it. How do you see it? That's a accumulation of things I've heard, things I've seen at camp, things that players have said during media appearances and coaches as well. That is my projected 2-deep. We will see how it works. But that is segment one on the offense. In segment two, we will look at the defense and see what my projectiles are for that side. But first, sweat block. It is hot, guys. Tonight, shameless plug, I'll be on Rivalry Thursday, my VLT. You can check it out in the Knoxville area or on the Roku channel or online as well for high school football. I'm so excited about it. It is so hot. I'm going to be out there, and even before the sun goes down, even when the sun goes down, I'm going to be sweating like crazy. I'm going to stripe up with sweat block before I go out there to try to keep me from sweating through my nice polo that Mark Packer bought me, and so I don't look like just a loser on television, you know what I'm saying? So sweat block's going to help me tonight. It can help you as well. Doctor recommended, doctor created. It works up to 7 days per use, okay? It's the dry shirt guarantee. If sweat block doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back, all right? It's manufactured in the United States. You wear what you want to wear. It's your little secret of confidence, and this is a must-have for everyone's toiletry bag, because whether it's for a big presentation, whether it's a hot date, or if you're going on television tonight like me, it can benefit everybody, okay? So how do you sign up to get this sweat block? Well, if you or a loved one is dealing with this, you need to check it out right now. You can get 20% off at sweatblock.com by using the promo code LOCKEDON. You can get it at Amazon or CVS, but 20% off at sweatblock.com by using the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, at Amazon or CVS. Guys, it's hot, all right? I feel your pain. Check out Sweatblock. It will help you out. And Homefield Apparel, vintage apparel for your Tennessee Volunteers. The Volunteers collection has over 15 pieces of apparel, t-shirts, hoodies, crew necks, all the vintage marks that make you know you're a true Tennessee fan that you're not going to see anywhere else, okay? Locked On Vols at homefieldapparel.com, and you can get 15% off your first purchase. Locked On Vols at homefieldapparel.com, you can get 15% off your first purchase. These shirts, these hoodies, these crew necks, you won't find them in any other store. You won't find them on the internet. You won't find them anywhere. It is Homefield Apparel has put in the time, has dedicated their efforts to finding what makes Tennessee truly Tennessee. What makes Neyland truly Neyland? What makes, you know, Thompson Bowling Arena, and all the fans like you guys just want to come back for more? You can find your next t-shirt, your next hoodie, your crew neck, that thing for a Saturday night. Hey, something you might wear to a Tennessee football game this Saturday. Find it at homefieldapparel.com. Homefieldapparel.com, promo code LockedOnVols for 15% off your first purchase. That's homefieldapparel.com. Segment two of a Thursday show gets started right now, and we caught up on my thoughts, my projected top two in the depth chart for the offensive side in segment one. We will do that same thing now on the defensive side in segment number two before we talk expectations in segment three. And again, guys, remember, disclaimer, this is my projected depth chart. This is not Tennessee's projected depth chart. That will come out likely on game week. And there's some position battles that are not finished yet, okay? Like I said, I expect Joe Milton to be the starting quarterback. That doesn't mean he's won it yet. Josh Heupel certainly has not released that. The same could be said for a number of different positions. This is my depth chart, I got to keep saying that because some people might just hear it and run with it. And so, you know, you guys know I'm trying to cover my ass here. All right, so let's take a look at the defensive line. Another position to where interchangeable. You can have quote-unquote defensive ends playing defensive tackles, nose techniques playing five techniques. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of guys that are going to play, and so it's going to be interchangeable. This is kind of how I see it, okay? So at that quote-unquote defensive end spot, Latrell Bumpus. He is not officially cleared yet. He let us know that the other day. He's doing pretty much everything except 11-on-11. He didn't really have a timeline. He expects it to be very, very soon, but he's been out there every single day working since, you know, 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday when they first started. So he's not officially cleared yet to my knowledge, but we expect that to be very soon. So Latrell Bumpus at number one. Behind him, I have Caleb Tremblay, the newcomer, or Jaquan Blakely. At defensive tackle, I have Omari Thomas. And then behind him, I have Croc Garland or Elijah Simmons. At the other defensive tackle, different techniques. You can go to a shade, a one technique, a three, a five, all that type of stuff. I'm just labeling these generic defensive tackles. The other one, Matthew Butler, behind him, Deshaun Terry, or Aubrey Solomon. So I expect all those guys that I just mentioned to play. I mean, I really do. You've got a mixture of veterans, you have a couple of newcomers in there, and a true sophomore that I believe is going to play a lot of snaps in Omari Thomas. So interchangeable, they can mix and match, play all over the place, but that's kind of how I see that defensive line shaping out, all right? And like Elijah Simmons, had a fantastic spring. If he continues to lose weight, train, lose weight, dedicate to transforming his body, you know, he can, and he'll play regardless. He has played during his Tennessee career, but, you know, he could potentially be vying for more snaps if that were the case. So my top flight, Latrell Bumpus, Omari Thomas, Matthew Butler. Flight under that, I have Caleb Tremblay or Jaquan Blakely, Karat Garland or Elijah Simmons, DJ Terry or Aubrey Solomon. So a lot of ors there. Or is the MVP of this depth chart so far, am I right? Outside linebacker. And again, it's all about personnel on the defensive end as well, because if you notice, I just listed three positions there on the defensive line. They could very easily put another one out there and go four-man front, or they could have Tyler Barron down there with his hand in the dirt playing as a defensive end. It's all about how Tim Bakes wants to use his defense or his personnel on the field. So it's kind of TBD. The way I did my depth chart might not necessarily line up for how Tennessee runs its defense. Snap in and snap out. That's the beautiful thing about being multiple. And for depth chart purposes, I put two outside linebackers out there. A lot of the times you'll see one outside linebacker out there along with a star position that I'll get to here in a moment in the secondary. So you catch my drift. This is a lot like Jeremy Pruitt as well. Jeremy Pruitt had two outside linebackers, but really only had one playing because he ran with a star of five defensive backs in the secondary the majority of the time. And that's likely what Tennessee will do moving forward. And, you know, with Tim Banks, Willie Martinez, and that's football. I mean, I wrote a column on it at VolQuest.com a couple of days ago. You know, the star position is widely considered one of the most important positions in all of football right now. Hey, you know, Jacob Coleman's making tons of money, you know, coming from Tennessee, playing that nickelback spot, you know, and that's why it's valued right now in the National Football League and beyond. So outside linebacker, I have Tyler Barron. Behind him, Roman Harrison. The other outside linebacker, Byron Young. Behind him, I have Morvin Joseph or Bryson Eason or William Mohan. I think those three guys behind Byron Young are like a step below where Roman Harrison is in terms of being a quote-unquote backup, if that makes sense. But a lot of those guys are going to play. Tennessee needs pass rushers. Tennessee needs to be able to throw guys out there, keep guys fresh. And again, a lot of the times you'll only see one of those guys out there one time with the star spot, but that's kind of how I broke it down. So your top two, position, Tyler Barron, Byron Young. Behind them, you've got Roman Harrison, and then you've got William Mohan, Morvin Joseph, Bryson Eason, all those guys. At Mike linebacker, Juwan Mitchell. Behind him, Morvin Joseph or Aaron Willis. At Will linebacker, Jeremy Banks. Behind him, Aaron Beasley. Linebacker's kind of up in the air. You know Juwan Mitchell's going to play, but they're trying to contend for snaps and playing time at that other spot. And, you know, Josh Heupel seems pleased with, I believe, the phrase that Brent Hubbs used the other day, just kind of, he feels like he can survive. He can survive now with that linebacker spot. You're not going to go out and win any awards. You're not going to be All-SEC, All-American or anything, but I think you feel a lot better about that spot now than what you did in the spring for sure. Juwan Mitchell's going to play. We know this. I put Jeremy Banks up there as a quote-unquote starter because, again, he's experienced. He has everything you want in terms of an athlete. And, you know, I haven't been able to see him practice a whole lot. Again, they just do turnover circuits mainly when we're out there. But hearing good things, I saw good things that one time we got to see inside run a couple weeks ago at the very beginning of camp. So we'll have to see if Jeremy Banks is up there. But really, it's Juwan Mitchell and then a host of others. But I peg it like this. Juwan Mitchell with Jeremy Banks up there at the top. And then Morvin Joseph or Aaron Willis, the true freshman. And then Aaron Beasley. Aaron Beasley's had a nice camp. Heard some good things about him. He's just, I mean, guys, he came in here as a safety. He's played running back. He's kind of found a home at linebacker, but he's still kind of small. And so can you go with the wear and tear that's playing inside linebacker in the SEC, going up against those, I mean, goodness gracious, those 330-pound offensive linemen sometime like Tennessee used to have on its roster? That's the challenge for Aaron Beasley moving forward. So that's kind of how I see linebacker. At the star position we talked about, Theo Jackson or Danico Slaughter. That is a position battle that is still ongoing. If I had to give the edge to somebody, I guess I'd give it to Theo Jackson because he's experienced, he's a veteran, he's played a whole lot of football, he's really fast. But Danico Slaughter, kind of like Jalen McCullough, his freshman year, took over one of those starting safety spots midway through. I can see Danico Slaughter doing that as well. He's not a true freshman anymore. He's learned. You know, it is what it is. So those two guys will play at the star position. Behind those guys, who's not in the contention at all for the starting spot, Romello Edwards. At strong safety, Jalen McCullough. Behind him, Tamarian McDonald. At free safety, Trayvon Flowers. Behind him, Christian Charles. At cornerback, Alante Taylor. Behind him, Kenneth George. At the other cornerback, Warren Burrell. Behind him, Brandon Turnage or Kamal Haddon. Again, like wide receiver, like offensive line in the reserve portion, like defensive line, like linebacker a little bit. I mean, really like this Tennessee football team, but at cornerback, you can mix and match here. Alante Taylor is going to be a starter. I have full-fledged believe that. I think Warren Burrell is going to be a starter. He's had a nice camp, had a really good spring. Brandon Turnage and Kamal Haddon can add a lot as well. So you might see them up there with, you know, Warren Burrell and or Alante Taylor. Or you might see those two guys take a seat. And you might see Haddon and Turnage step up. Whatever the case may be. And Kenneth George, who's there as well as a veteran. Bottom line, you feel better about the depth at these positions so much more now than what you did in spring. And credit this staff for going out and finding guys to come and be a part of it and wanting to transfer in. That's a beautiful thing about the transfer portal. How much trouble? And Tennessee might not be good this year. But how much trouble would the Vols be in this year if not for the transfer portal? I mean, goodness gracious. Yes, it taketh away. I hear you, Eric Gray, Ty Chandler, Wanya Morris, all those, Henry Tuolotua. I hear you. But it also brought in to replenish a little bit. And so, you know, you better be thankful for the transfer portal for sure. So that's how I see the two deep on the defensive side of the football. Again, keep your receipts. We'll have fun with it. That's my projection for the two deep on the defensive side of the football. We'll have to see how accurate I am come September the 2nd. Let's talk expectations in segment three of this 2021 season. Record, stats, where you at on that? We'll get there in just a moment, but BetOnline, fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. The second half is underway, and you're starting to see some separation in some of these divisions, whereas the National League West, the American League East, it's still, you know, jockeying for that top spot there in that division with some really, really good teams. Point of the matter is, some good baseball is happening right now, and if you haven't got your futures, your dailies, your totals in, you can do that now at betonline.ag. All the odds, information on your sporting needs, not just baseball, NBA offseason, summer league action is happening right now, the NHL will be back before you know it, UFC action just about every single weekend. I want you to put your sports knowledge to use so you can put some coin in your pocket before the next pitch, and you can do that as well as bonuses and contests, all at betonline.ag. Head on over to the website, use your mobile device, sign up today, receive a 50% welcome bonus on that first deposit. I put in 100, they'll give me 50. I put in 200, they give me 100. That's hashtag math, am I right? All you have to do is use the promo code LOCKEDON. Promo code LOCKEDON, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, it's your online sportsbook expert, and great friends of this show, great friends of the network, that would be rockauto.com. It's where you can save time and money when you use it, okay? Why choose to spend 30 to 50, even sometimes 100% more on the same parts from your chain store or a car dealership when you can go online to rockauto.com and check out the thousands of selections they can have just for you? They've been doing it. It's a family-owned business. They've been doing it for over 20 years for the do-it-yourselfers as well as the professionals, okay? Always those prices are reliably low for every single customer. They've got brake parts, tail lamps, motor rolls, even some new carpets. They've got it all at rockauto.com. Go explore their easy-to-use website today. Find the solution for your auto part needs right now. How do you do it? Well, you go to rockauto.com, and you see all the parts available for your car or your truck. When you're there, right, Locked On, and how did you hear about us, Bugs? They know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit my friends at rockauto.com. Welcome back to a segment number three of a Thursday Locked On Vols. Had a fun show so far going over my projected two deep. We're going to talk expectations here in segment three. Tomorrow's show, I'm going to bring some interviews from Mike Wilson of Knox News as well as Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com and also go over some news and notes from practice that I'll view from Thursday morning. But right now, let's talk expectations, all right? Expectations. What is your expectation for Tennessee football this year? I mean, it's something we talk about in the offseason all the time. It's something we argue with our friends about. It's something we tweet at me about if you disagree, or tweet at somebody else that might say something on the radio or write an article. I understand, like, this has been a conversation, but now that we're towards the back end of camp, we're getting, I mean, we're just a week away from game week, guys. I mean, literally just a week away from game week. What's your expectation from things we've learned, things we've talked about throughout camp? I'm curious. I mean, my expectation, it hasn't really changed an awful lot. I still, you know, from a, and every time I do this now, I think back to whenever Chuck Oliver joined the show back at SEC Media Days, and I'm really, really a big fan of his, and it was really cool to have him come on our show. I've joined his show a couple times. He said, hey, if Tennessee fans are still in that mindset of, well, can you be 6-6? Can you still this game be 7-7? You don't want to be in that mindset anymore. And I hear him. I understand that. But my response to that would be, well, you got to start somewhere, right? I mean, you know, starting over again, new AD, new football coach, 3-7 season and an all-SEC slate last year, sanctions looming over your head for the football program, right? You got to start somewhere. So when I think of expectations for the Tennessee football team, they haven't changed an awful lot. I feel much better about depth in some spots, cornerback, okay, defensive line, okay, linebacker I feel a little bit better about. Wide receiver, I feel really good about because I think there's some players in there and they'll rotate it out. Where I didn't think I'd be worrying about right now was offensive tackle. But hey, that's one injury. It can put you in a bind, and that's Kayron Calvert, right? So I'm concerned about the depth at offensive tackle. I'm concerned about the depth at tight end. We've seen at practice when one guy might be out. Princeton Fant missed the first day of practice this year. How thin that group was. Miles Campbell was banged up a little bit one day. We just saw how thin that group was when one of those guys are out of that four-man mix, right? And that mix of Princeton Fant, Jacob Warren, Miles Campbell, and Julian Nixon, plus two are which of true freshmen. So I'm concerned about offensive tackle. Concerned a little bit about tight end. Concerned, still concerned about inside linebacker because I got to see it, right? But overall, I think Tennessee's done a nice job in the offseason, like we talked about in the last segment, of adding and filling some of those needs. So depth, I'm kind of where you are, you know, where I was to begin with the season. It's much, much, much better than where I was in spring practice, right? So 6-6 is still my prediction. I'm not getting off of that. I am confident. I am confident Tennessee will win six games this year. I've said it since spring. I said it in the summer. I'll say it now. When Tennessee's 0-7, I probably won't say it then. I'm just kidding. Stop. But I still think Tennessee can crawl to six wins because this non-conference schedule, and I understand Pittsburgh's going to be a challenge, and Pittsburgh might beat Tennessee, might beat Tennessee, but in the overall scheme of things, that non-conference schedule is easy, okay? You are cakewalking to wins against Bowling Green. I hear you, Georgia State, BYU, I've got you. I know. 2019, never forget the top first two games of that year. Tennessee had BYU beat, literally, drilled them in every statistical category available, still lost that game. But my point is, you are going to cakewalk to victories against Bowling Green, against South Alabama, against Tennessee Tech, okay? Pittsburgh will be a challenge. Tennessee might lose that game, but even if Tennessee loses that game, you can pick up another game, in my opinion, all right? So say Tennessee sweeps non-con, that's four wins. Tennessee can beat Vanderbilt, and I'm still, especially with the injury at quarterback, Tennessee can beat South Carolina. I'm confident in that, okay? There's your six wins. Say Tennessee loses to Pittsburgh. You mean to tell me Tennessee can't pick up a game, especially later in the season when the offense should be rolling? You should have found your quarterback by now if you take care of the football and convert on third downs. You tell me Tennessee can't steal a game at Kentucky? A lot of fans, this is something that gets a lot of people on VolQuest.com mad, and I understand it. I get it, but Kentucky's been the punching bag for Tennessee for years and years and years. Well, for only the second time since, what, 1984, Kentucky came into Neyland Stadium last year and won. Well, not only did they win, they beat the crap out of Tennessee. Let's call it what it is, all right? Kentucky, you guys know my love affection for Mark Stoops. I think he is a great coach. I think Kentucky's great at the line of scrimmage, but you mean to tell me Tennessee can't go outscore Kentucky? If it's rolling, I think it can. So that's one toss-up game. Missouri's another one. I think Missouri's better in all in most areas than Tennessee. I think it's well-coached with Eli Drinkwitz. It's another game on the road, but I think that can be a competitive football game. I think Tennessee could potentially steal that one. I'm not saying Tennessee. I still think Tennessee is far away on Florida, Georgia, Alabama. Okay, I think it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a real challenge, in my opinion, to keep up with Ole Miss. I understand the defense wasn't there at all. I get all that. It'd be harder to be worse than you were on defense from last year in 2020 if you're Ole Miss. But Ole Miss has got a good quarterback. It's coached well. It's got a good run game. All right. I think it's going to be a challenge. The challenge Tennessee has in terms of advantage this year would be, can you outscore the other opponent? Yes, you might not be the better football team, but can you outscore the opponent? Can you keep scoring and scoring and scoring? And that's where you're trying to take an offense that has just been in the gutters the last 3 years and trying to make it into this high-powered machine that Josh Heupel has done at UCF and what he's done with quarterback play at Missouri, at Oklahoma, so on and so forth. Will it be complete in year one? Probably not. Probably not, but will you see strides? And that's where my conversation is. What, you know, for you, what is your expectation? My expectation is still six wins. I think Tennessee will score around 30 points a game. I think Tennessee will be better at getting to the quarterback. Will it be one of the league leaders in the SEC? No. Will it be better than it was last year? Absolutely. Probably somewhere in the middle. Those are kind of some of my few little expectations, all right? I think Tennessee will be involved. I think Joe Milton is the best guy for this job right now. But if Tennessee finds a quarterback and hits on it, you know, who knows how good this offense can be, because I think there's some players on offense. I really do. But again, as always, depth at inside linebacker, at offensive line, it's concerning a little bit. Depth at safety, really. You're too deep right now and you're feeling good. What happens if one or two of those guys get hurt? All right. Depth is where it's going to slow this team down. You look at the starters on both sides and some of those key backups, you said, okay, not bad, not bad. Depth. Going through the grueling grind of an SEC schedule, that is where it can come up and get you. So, again, that's some of my takeaways. My expectations haven't changed. I still expect Tennessee to win six wins. I still expect Tennessee to score around 30 points, all right? Those are just two of mine. What say you? What are some of your expectations for Tennessee football this year, and have they changed? Have they evolved from the spring to the summer to now entering week three of fall camp? What say you? @_Cater, @LockedOnVols, you guys know how to get at me, and I do appreciate your feedback. Hey, fun show, guys. Had a great time going over my two deep offense, defense, and expectations. Want to know your thoughts. Agree, disagree, hate what I say? You know where to find me on Twitter. And I appreciate all the feedback and the conversations with you guys. We're done with Locked On Vols now, so I want to turn the attention to Locked On Bets. Betting on the SEC, it does not have to be a guessing game anymore. All you have to do is listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast. It's hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get the daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag or wherever you get your podcasts. Guys, I appreciate it. It's been a fun Thursday show. We will hit interview heavy tomorrow and talk about what I saw at practice to end the week. That's coming up on a Friday, but until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.